y'all. Welcome back to the Shifting Schools podcast. My name is Trisha Friedman. Have you been wondering what AI might do to help alleviate the mental health crisis we are in? If that's a question that's been on your mind, or you're curious about ways that AI is going to help us address some of our biggest, most pressing concerns, this episode is for you. I do want to give you a heads up that this episode discusses, of course, mental health issues and suicide ideation. Our special guest, Dr. Elsa Fries, is here to tell us all about Alongside, a AI offering that you can explore for your school. Dr. Fries is the head of mental health at Alongside, which is a clinician-powered AI tool. We're going to get into all of the evidence and research that has gone into bringing this tool forward, as well as some of the misconceptions that might be out there about the role that AI or technology can play in assisting mental health. Dr. Fries is a licensed psychologist, researcher, and behavioral health advocate who specializes in utilizing technology to expand access to youth mental health support. When we are talking about Alongside, and I would highly recommend that you check out the tool, the website, which is linked into our show notes, will take you over to that website where you can see demos of students and testimonials of students talking about that tool. After our interview, I actually asked Dr. Fries how Alongside came up with the name for the chatbot, which happens to be Kiwi. And Dr. Fries told me that that name was actually voted on by students. It was music to my ears because I got to learn a little bit more about the student involvement in designing and testing Alongside. Dr. Fries told me that actually they have a student advisory board. And she let me know that they also have a paid student summer internship. There's a link in the show notes for you to learn more about that, to possibly share that with your students as well. Before we start our conversation with Dr. Fries, we've got a quick word from our show sponsor.
Thank you again for listening to Shifting Schools. I wanted to take a quick break in our conversation to talk about Libra HQ. We know and talk about it here often on the podcast that AI is impacting all parts of an organization in some really interesting and impactful ways. When I was first contacted by Libra's CEO, Matt, I was intrigued in how the Libra system leveraged AI to support leaders in doing the work that we know matters most, connecting with staff within an organization, a task that up until now took time. Too much time, in fact, that it often didn't get done. How many times have you said to yourself, oh, I have to remember to send an email to that staff member about their birthday, or about their work anniversary, or a follow-up on that conversation we had in the hallway about their daughter scoring the winning goal, only to get busy and never send the email or write the note? Well, this is where Libra takes a unique approach, integrating directly with tools you already use like Outlook or Gmail to provide a seamless experience. It's designed to help you remember and celebrate the important moments, from work anniversaries to personal milestones, ensuring every staff member feels acknowledged and valued. But Libra goes beyond mere reminders. It employs sophisticated AI to offer insights into team dynamics, helping leaders foster a positive, supportive culture that's key to staff retention and satisfaction. Imagine a school where every staff member feels seen and heard, where the culture thrives on genuine connections, and it only takes you 5 to 10 minutes every day to create that culture. Libra makes this possible by equipping leaders with the AI tools to personalize their approach to staff well-being, ensuring no one feels like just another number in the system. It's about creating an environment where everyone can thrive, contribute, and feel part of a unified community. In a time when the educational landscape is rapidly changing, where educators report being stressed and overworked, leveraging a tool like Libra empower school leaders to lead with empathy and compassion. Discover the difference Libra can make in your school. Let's work together to build educational communities where everyone, from teachers to administrative staff, feel connected, appreciated, and fully engaged in their school and district's shared mission. To learn more about this revolutionary AI tool for school leaders, reach out to me at jeff@shiftingschools.com, and I'd be happy to take you on a demo of this amazing new AI tool. Thanks for listening, and now back to our conversation.
And with that, here's our episode exploring the role that AI can play in combating our mental health crisis with our special guest, Dr. Elsa Fries. Dr. Fries, you are the head of Alongside, which is a clinician-powered AI tool. Listeners, I think that might even just stop you in your tracks. You might want to hit pause, head over to the show notes to look at Alongside before you listen to the rest of this episode. Listeners, have you come back? Okay, great. Dr. Fries, can you walk us through how that AI tool supports young folks and what it means for a tool like it to have your expertise and experience behind it?
Absolutely. So to set the scene just a little bit, we are in a dual mental health crisis. So we're in a youth mental health crisis, but we're also simply do not have enough mental health providers, counselors, social workers, therapists to meet the needs of students. And so to put a little color to this, half of youth mental health support is actually provided within schools. And yet 85% of schools cannot meet the needs of students. And in fact, we actually see this is not only a funding issue, it's also a staffing issue, that 70% of job openings are going vacant right now. And so combine that with the fact that 1 in 5 high schoolers are having serious thoughts about suicide, according to the CDC. And if you actually just pause, listeners, pause and think about that, like picture 5 kids that you know. So maybe it's 5 of your kids' friends, maybe it's 5 kids in your class. And like one of those faces behind that, behind what you don't see, is a kid who is suffering so much that they're actually thinking of harming themselves. So, you know, when we're thinking about Alongside, we're turning to technology with the recognition that the fact is we simply don't have enough mental health providers, and we're not going to be able to train our way out of this. It's going to take years and years until we provide, you know, we need, I think it's about 100,000 additional mental health providers in schools right now. And so when we look at it through this lens, we are turning to technology to say, how can we have those brief interactions with kids where we are providing some support, a warm and validating space, and helping them feel seen and heard? Because we also know that kids are carrying this invisible backpack with them to school. And so this is filled with their stress, their trauma, their historical lived experiences, maybe anxiety. And so when kids are coming to Alongside, they can chat about anything or anything that they're going through. So maybe it's a kid on the bus, they're freaking out about their test in second period. And so what we're trying to do is we're going to use AI to match them with a strategy that one of our amazing clinical team members has written or curated. And they're going to try to just target that small, you know, that rock in their backpack that's weighing them down. And slowly by slowly, we can help them kind of unpack that. They're going to feel lighter. They're going to feel more supported and hopefully be able to have that little kind of coaching or boost that they need to start to get through their day.
And I know for some people, this idea of marrying mental health and technology, it might seem like, oh my goodness, is this brand new? But there is a history. I actually love sharing the story of what the Trevor Project did in partnership with Google years back to upskill. They needed more crisis trainers and they employed AI. I'll link to, there's a great talk at Google that folks can listen to learn more about that. And I know that you are no stranger to the idea of using technology in this context. Yeah. Is there more that you'd like to say about, you know, I think when many people think AI, our minds go to media, right? We think about movies and TV shows. Is there anything that you would like to clarify about this partnership of mental health and technology, and why it's not necessarily, this wild, untested idea or approach?
It's so true. You know, the first AI chatbot for mental health was actually developed in 1967 by a researcher. It's called Eliza. And so this computer scientist was like, hey, could we figure out a way where I can kind of tell this computer how I want it to respond and sound like a human? And so it's been actually around for quite a long time. You know, I think when, especially with the emergence of these generative AI models that all of a sudden really now sound like a human, this is where it's like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Is this going to take over our jobs? Are we, you know, is this going to replace every therapist? And I'm here to say no. And that is not the goal of Alongside either, is to not replace therapists. We want to be an on-ramp to school counselors and therapists as well. I think one way of thinking about generative AI, our head of AI, Dr. Sergi Feldman, explained it to me this once, and I just love this analogy, is generative AI is like an alien that wanted to come down to Earth. And so to prepare, like, read every single thing on the internet and came down and then said, okay, I'm going to try to fit in, and I'm just going to pull things from everything I've learned until it seems like people like me and are going to fit in. And so generative AI is really great at sounding like a human. It's really great at, like, kind of knowing these weird facts that you feel like it shouldn't, but it is not good at critical thinking. It is not good at making decisions. And so a lot of decades of research has already been done on ways that we can use different applications of non-generative AI to help make decisions, to help understand what's going on, and that, like, human computer interface. I think what feels so different for people is it feels real in some ways now, whereas we have two decades of research on internet-based mental health interventions for youth that we see it can be safe, it can be effective. There's many ways to do it.
Yeah. And the research is really interesting. I'll pull out the link and share this in the show notes as well. But there's been research that suggests people actually share more with an AI therapist than they mm-hmm. do with a human one. With your expertise and scholarship, does research like that surprise you or not? I'm kind of curious, you know, myself not having the degree that you do. I wasn't sure actually if I found that surprising or not. And I'm kind of wondering, does that not surprise you?
Yeah. I mean, I think having worked in the mental health field, it's so interesting because I think there is still sadly so much stigma around mental health. And so I think, you know, I've worked all around the world. I spent a lot of my time working in Kenya. I've worked in many different cultures and communities across the US. And so we learn from the environment what is safe to talk about, what is not safe to talk about, how to talk about it in a safe way. And so what I think some of the beauty of this, like, talking to an AI or a robot is the anonymity, where it's like, I don't have to, like, test out and figure, like, how do I phrase this in a way that people are going to respond in a positive way or they won't judge me for. And so in that way, it doesn't. And we see that too, a lot about, even in, like, taking surveys. If we never want to, prime people, to think about anything that might make them feel embarrassed or sensitive before taking a survey. We don't really want people to watch us fill out surveys. Like, we want to feel like we can just disclose this, even if we know someone is going to read it later on.
Yeah. I mean, You've reminded me of something that I've been, you know, just kind of playing around with ChatGPT. And that's, you know, Dr. Freeze, thankfully you can't see what my desk looks like right now, but I am that kind of thinker where like there's post-it notes all over the place. There's a lot of, I love actually yellow legal pads, but there's a lot of like crumpled up pages. It's a little bit chaotic. So I go through this cycle of like reorganizing my desk, making it messy again. Yes. And so I've been playing with this idea of taking a picture and asking ChatGPT, how would you reorganize this? And because I also like playing around with that tone and how it responds to me, sometimes I'll say, ChatGPT, can you give me 10 recommendations for reorganizing my desk in the voice of Moira Rose from Schitt's Creek? And that makes it a little bit more fun. But, you know, you bringing up this idea that there's a stigma around mental health. There's, you know, a lot of misconceptions out there around AI. So you almost have sort of two, like a double barrier there. And we are in the early days, I think, of AI being something mm-hmm. that folks come to terms with, just that, you know, it is already playing a role in our day-to-day lives, but there's a lot of learning around that. What is a misconception that you hear often or sometimes about AI and what AI can do for mental health that you think we really need to clear up, that is maybe going to reduce that barrier to someone using a tool like Alongside Help for support?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think from schools, we hear a lot of concern that this is going to replace them. And again, I think that's why I set the stage of like, this isn't meant to replace, and we have to be really thoughtful about that, and that we need to really be careful about, like, what are the limitations? What is it good at? What is it not? And what level of concern are we willing to let it handle? So AI is really, really good. Large language models can be really great at detecting if a student is talking about self-harm, suicide, or abuse. So we can train a model to do that. And this is something that many schools, you know, if you're familiar with Go Guardian, you know, this is actually a technology where most schools are like, oh yeah, we use Go Guardian, or we use something to like monitor for student. Oh, that's not AI. Like, yeah, that is AI that is powering it. And so we have to know, you have to match what it is good at with the job that you're giving it is really, really important. So if you're using it to monitor, use it to monitor and recognize it's still not going to catch everything, but maybe it's better than having nothing. Can GPT, have you tried out GPT to see if like it can be really nice to you or provide you some empathy or validation? Have you tried that out?
Yes, give me some affirmations. I'm concerned about this.
Yep. Right. It's actually pretty good. And some of them don't land, but like honestly, with humans, mm-hmm. they also don't land sometimes. Humans, I can't read your mind sitting here looking at you right now either. So it can do things like that as well. So I think, you know, what is really critical is the people who are designing this need to know what it can do and what it cannot do. People using it need to know what it can do and what it cannot do. And, you know, my biggest red flag I see is we do see an increasing plethora of GPT therapists where there's no one with clinical training developing or training it. And that to me, like being a therapist, there's so much more than just saying, I'm here, I'm sorry, I hope things are going okay. And so making sure that you have people who know what they're doing building these products is really important.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up, because in a lot of the workshops that we've been doing, part of what we've been doing is some information literacy in terms of whether you're using a tool or not. Let's look at who's behind this tool, who has it been developed with, and Alongside is an evidence-backed tool. So I'm wondering if you can point our listeners to a piece of research that has informed or supports the implementation of Alongside.
Absolutely. So at Alongside, you know, AI is really the vehicle for two things. I'll back up a tiny bit and then answer your question. AI, we're using to identify kids who need more support, if they are. We direct them to the school counseling team to get that in-person support. If we have lower level issues, like I have a conflict with a friend, I'm being anxious about a test, what we have done is we have taken, there are thousands of evidence-based strategies that have been well-researched out there. So a really good one is problem solving. Problem solving is something we all probably do every day. It's actually really critical to helping maintain our positive mental health if we actually think about it. And so we use AI to determine the core issue a student is struggling with and then match it with the best evidence-based strategy that we think will fit that situation. So it could be problem solving. It could be having a mindful moment where we take some deep breaths and just try to calm down. It could be pulling from cognitive behavioral therapy where we are talking about noticing our anxious thoughts and trying to reframe them or come up with more positive thoughts. And, you know, one of the things that really kind of just blew my mind in a way was when I was working at Duke, was reading the work by a great researcher, Dr. Jessica Schleider, who does work on digital single session interventions. And so I am trained in kind of traditional 12-week therapy, and her research and many other amazing colleagues in the single session research area are saying you can actually have an impact with like a 5-minute quick coaching session. It doesn't have to be that 45-minute sitting with me and talking things through. 5 minutes, we can actually see almost similar impacts of a 45-minute session. And so that for me just like revolutionized the way that I thought about how we could actually deliver care. So then again, we're combining, can it be evidence-informed? It still can be brief and it can be delivered by technology. And so Dr. Schleider's work, she has a new book out called Little Treatments, Big Effects. Highly recommend looking that up. It's on Amazon, I believe. And then, you know, her randomized control trials have said this actually works. And she has tested it in schools. And we have licensed some of her treatments that are included in alongside. And then we're also running we are currently running an independent evaluation to develop a similar base of evidence and research to support alongside impact on students as well.
Well, thank you so much for those recommendations. For a listener who's hearing you talk about alongside, they're starting to get curious about the impact it could have within their community. What are the different sort of ways of partnering? And I'm wondering, does it always have to be a whole school approach? Because I'm guessing there are also just smaller groups within a community who are thinking, you know, as you mentioned, you know, depending on where you are, it can be very difficult to get the support that your child might need. So what are kind of the options in partnering with alongside, or what does a school need to do in order to get started?
Absolutely. We partner with schools of all sizes. And so we work at the building level, grade level, smaller group level, or even as big as the district level as well. And one of the reasons we do want to work, currently we are just working exclusively with schools. We aren't doing like a direct to consumer. You can't just go online. And part of this reason is, you know, we see the incredible impact that we can have in this early prevention, early intervention space. But we also want to make sure those kiddos who do need more support are are able to get it by connecting with a trained school counselor or other faculty member at the school. And so for any interested school or district, they of course can go to our website, which is alongside.care, and you can actually check it out and try it for yourself. And so I would encourage anyone who's interested to go on. There is a little demo button that says try the app, and you can get to talk to Kiwi yourself. And so what we see is that talking with Kiwi, which is our llama bot chatbot, our chats are usually about 5 to 10 minutes long. And 90% of the students who are using Alongside say that one chat was actually really helpful and has improved their mood. And so in our research, what we're also looking at is we know there's a short-term impact, and we hear amazing, great stories from our school partners also impacting the school climate and culture, reducing the workload burden on school counselors. It's helping identify kids who are at higher risk and maybe don't want to talk to a counselor or don't know how to reach out to someone, but it's a safer space for them to reach out. And that it's just having that overall impact on how students are engaging. So decreased behavioral concerns in the classroom as well.
Do you have any recommendations for somebody who wants to try out that demo? Like, what would you prompt it with? Like, what do you think is kind of an interesting way to test it out to get a sense of what it can do for students?
Oh, it's, you know, one of my favorites is just go in and I would say, I feel like a failure. I think that's something that resonates with, you know, I feel like that sometimes as an adult. I think that's something we hear kids say all the time. That is one of my favorite ones. And I will also, I just have to give a shout out to one of my colleagues. So all of our self-worth content is curated by my colleague, Dr. Blanca, who just has this amazing way. I don't know how she does it, but if like you feel her warmth come through on those chats, you don't want to do chats. I do. Mine are sassy and kind of irreverent. But for Blanca's, it's like somehow there's like a warm hug that's coming through all of the content that she curates, or she speaks through Kiwi. In essence, other common things are like, I had a big fight with my friend. I have a test coming up and I'm anxious about. Those are some other common things students chat with us about.
Well, thank you for that. You know, it was an important reminder too of, I think sometimes, you know, and many big thinkers have kind of said this in more articulate ways than I will, that artificial intelligence, it's not actually artificial, you know, like there are humans behind all of this technology. Yes. So it's interesting just again to hear you speak about time, concern, research that's gone into Alongside, and you know, that these are folks that you know. So we will be sure to link to Alongside. We'll link directly to that demo. I am sure people will be very curious to test that out and to learn more. So Dr. Frizz, thank you so much for coming on the show to talk about Alongside with us. As always, folks, thank you for tuning into the Shifting Schools podcast. I do want to let you know we received feedback from a few fellow listeners who were asking if Jeff and I were going to offer anything specific on AI and feedback. So we've taken your feedback on, and coming up this April, we are offering AI-fueled feedback. This is a 90-minute webinar on April 9th. We have it priced at an early bird rate from now until March 5th. So please head on over to the show notes, learn about our early bird rate and learning with Jeff and I this April. You can also find more on AI-fueled feedback by heading over to www.shiftingschools.com. Thanks for listening. See you next week.